Nerd Talk, yeah!
Welcome to Nerd Talk Plus, our weekly deeper dive into the stories that make this world nerdier. From Odyssey's Nerd Talk, I'm your host, Gregor. Representing alligators of the Everglades and beyond, our very own Florida man, Siege.
Hello, everyone.
And he's been a fairy tale to the show for the last several months. I don't remember how we came up with the name, but welcome to the Skin Squatch. It's Brandon.
Yes.
It's a Sasquatch, but without fur, I have skin.
Yes.
That, you would like imagine the hairless that the Sasquatch cat. Has skin underneath there. Otherwise, it's just hair growing on bones. Bone hair.
Bone hair.
Old Brandon Bone Hair.
I want to play the sounder, but I can't.
Old Brandon Bone Hair, everybody.
Double right, bone well, hair robot, Brandon.
None of us is a scientist, engineer, or supervillain yet, but if you are, let us know what we get wrong, or possibly even right. If you could tell a friend, or even better, write a review if you're listening to this on demand. Siege is rushing to find the reviews. Here he goes.
I got him.
Do we have more than one?
Yeah, bro, we got three this week.
See what happens I leave the podcast for a while?
Yeah.
I assure you it's about Siege and not us, Brandon.
Exactly.
No, it's definitely not about me. All right. No,
they're all about Siege. The one was about me. That was nice.
What if I unbutton nice one more button?
Well, wait a second. The one last week called all of us like her idiot sons. That was Nima. She said we were kind of funny and we stumbled on this trying to find a radio program. Accidentally downloaded a podcast. You guys are like our idiot sons and she'll keep listening. We're good boys.
Thank you, Nima. Thank you.
That sounds like my mom talking about us anyway.
Yeah, right? This week, Rose has thoughts, but it's 5 stars.
Yeah.
From Brooker Bean. So upon some considerations, I believe the dolphins actually may be better candidates for milk or cheese based on their sexual willingness and natural curiosity. Follow up on that. Oh, man, I should probably not read this one for Nerd Talk Teen. One,
it's okay.
I am questioning whether any human could fit their hands around an orca penis in order to effectively jerk it off. Wow, I should pick the wrong one today. And two, is there any cheese that is produced from ejaculate? These are legitimate questions from a Gregor's Nerd Talk fan and a Siege enthusiast. Wow.
Question of the week.
Welcome back, Skin Squatch.
We'd love it if you could chime in. You could find all of our socials. You could find the podcast. You could find all you need to at nerdtalkplus.com. Brandon.
Well, I understand wanting to source orca milk from places that are not its teats. But we don't have to because it has the teats. I mean, you can't see them and they're behind the slit. What do they call them? The pectoral slits or something like that.
Yes.
That's like literally the scientific term for where the orca keep its boobs.
The pit slits.
And so it's like, don't worry about the orca's ween. Let's just find the teats and milk those.
You heard it here from Brandon Bonehair first.
Although, I mean, I do feel a little bit uncomfortable with, like, the concept of replacing the orca with... I mean, not that any of that is super comfortable, but replacing the orca with the dolphin because, like, science says that dolphins are the most intelligent animal or most intelligent species next to humans. Obviously, we're the most intelligent, as evidenced by these three idiot sons. And... Yeah. something makes me uncomfortable knowing that, like, porpoises are one of the only other creatures to have sex for pleasure, and then to then milk them makes it feel like if you made eye contact with the porpoise. Like, if you make eye contact with a cow, there's not a lot going on in there, right? But, like, if you're sitting there milking a porpoise and, like, it looks at you and it's like, continue.
You gotta pay for that?
The porpoise now claims you as its own child.
Yeah.
You have to run with the pod.
Guys, this is a side question. I was just thinking about this, that, like, as Brandon was talking about porpoises and orcas, they're kind of the same, almost like species, right?
They're both of the cetacean class in the kingdom.
Is that kind of like panda bears and raccoons? Like, is the orca the panda of the sea?
Ooh. Oh. So is the dolphin the trash panda of the ocean?
No, if they,
not saying it's not.
I like this. I mean, if tuna's chicken of the sea, the orca can be panda of the sea. The dolphin can be the raccoon of the sea. The sea cucumber is the cucumber of the sea.
If you pickle it, it's a pickle cumber. Sea pickle.
A pickle cumber.
Or a pickle cumber. That's nice.
My question is, can we can any of them?
Yeah, all of them. Yeah, I'm sure we've eaten plenty of canned sea raccoon. You know what I mean? Like, that was like a whole problem at one point, right? What about didn't like 40 orcas just die in fishing nets, like up north of Canada? I don't know if north is the right way, but up in the Arctic waters there?
You guys, probably, but moving on. I feel like...
Just gonna graze.
Did you guys hear about this? That recently, I gotta make sure I'm getting my species right, but recently, for the first time ever, there was a new species was discovered, and the species was a cross of a fox and like a domestic dog or something like that.
I did hear about this.
It's like, how does that not already happen?
Oh, yeah. You'd think that they'd be boning for years.
Yeah. Dogs are already out there doing their things. Foxes are, you know, the bottoms of nature's dogs. And you would just
mean that.
You would just think this would have already happened, right?
You think that a dog would eat too many like spoiled apples from an apple tree on the ground and get like kind of wasted? You'd be like, hey, fox, get over here.
I would.
The fox is like, look at you, big boy.
A total of 10 of these killer whales were caught in groundfish trawl fisheries by the Bering Sea and Aleutian Islands. Only one of them was released alive. Orca whale deaths as a result of fishing equipment have been on the rise since 2020. There's only like 70 of them in the Pacific Northwest J and K pod or whatever it is. I prefer K pod to J pod for the record. But like for 9 of them to be killed in fisheries, that's no good.
Is that how Keurigs are made?
Yeah, with K-pods. Yeah. Yeah, you kill orcas, and then actually they come plopping out of a blowhole. There's a K-pod.
You just squeeze them, they come popping out. That's why they're not recyclable. I want to know what the orcas are named that are down here, or maybe they're just runaways that have lost their way because of global warming and are dying on our shores.
Well, so there's like transient ones that go like... That spread across the country or around the oceans, like the transient of the on the trains of the United States or whatever.
Are you saying like, hobos?
Hoborcas.
Hobos that's, of the sea.
that's the town they come from in the ocean. It's near Jersey. But yes. All right. Anyway, so Siege, you're going to space camp this week.
I am so excited that for the psych mission and everything else like that, I've been gearing up for this thing. I'm leaving at 3 o'clock in the morning so I can get to my spot on the beach at 7 a.m. for sunrise and a big ass launch.
Yeah. Does that space camp have like archery and stuff, or is it just rockets?
No, but we do whittling and some knot tying.
Oh, okay. And we make fun of the Native Americans by not honoring their legacy.
And a special place here in Florida. Happy Indigenous Peoples Day.
When is the launch? And to be clear, Siege lives in Florida, in Miami specifically, outside of Miami. And so Orlando's a couple hours up the coast. And so you're going to go up to your surfing spot and watch the launches from there. When is it?
That's right. The launch itself is at 10:16 scheduled right now for the opening window, a.m. Eastern time, which is 7:16. You'll actually be on the air. I'll be sending you videos on Thursday.
Oh, cool. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And SpaceX takes off right by NASA, right?
Yeah, SpaceX, I believe, is actually going to be on, I believe it's on launch pad 39A, which is like the big one. Well, obviously, because they got the Falcon Heavy. And
the Falcons.
Yeah, basically 3 9-engine beasts strapped together with a rope and just send it straight into the stratosphere.
Not just Siege's party weekend. This is a rocket talk.
It's a good thing that Siege took knot tying if that's how the rockets are assembled.
It's true.
And this is why the space camp is so important. Come on.
It's no coincidence that the cockpit is shaped like the inside of a canoe.
Or nerd talk teen. I'm not gonna say it. Hello,
Brandon,
kids.
You've been missing for some time. How's your yard?
Oh, it's the worst.
So you've been doing good at it.
Yeah, no, I learned This is now nerd talk, dad talk.
So
I ripped all of the sod off of my yard, and then I leveled it out, and then because I also did my driveway, which created this huge thing, and so now I'm learning all about grass and how grass grows and when the best times of year for grass to grow are. And it turns out that if you thought spring was the right time, you were correct, because the grass is not growing. The grass is not growing super well right now. So it doesn't matter how much you know. It's still not going great. Although I did get a few little sprouts this morning that I saw, and then my 2 year old instantly just clobbered all of it. So
yeah, of course. Now did no one at the store where you bought the supplies go like, you know, this isn't the right time of year, right? Did they just let you?
This is technically also the right time of year if you're better at this than I am.
You just screwed it up.
I just screwed it up, but. I mean, look, the thing is, if this is properly dad talk, I ain't asking anybody for questions. I ain't asking anybody how I'm supposed to do this. I'm not going to the store. Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, I'm going to rent some heavy equipment and see how I can knock down my garage, which I almost did.
What did you rent? Did you rent like a Kubota type thing? Like one of those?
Yeah,
things
yeah. It's called a
Qdoba.
A Qdoba. Yeah, it's a giant
rented
burrito.
A Qdoba.
No, it's a. It's called a skid steer. You're thinking of a Kubota, which is the brand of the skid steer, which is like the tractor, and it goes. It can turn on like an axis because the right wheels go forward, left wheels go back, or vice versa.
Tank style. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's awesome. I deferred to the bigger boy, aka my dad, to drive that thing, and technically he's the one that almost took down my garage, so I don't know how that affects my insurance claim when I ultimately make it, but
wow. Father Skin Squatch is showing up a lot to help with the old yard there,
man.
Yeah Oh, it's because I'm a puny little baby who doesn't know anything.
Very soft hands. Very soft hands.
Yeah. I'm his idiot son.
His idiot son.
Stand there and look good, kid. You're like, got it, Dad.
Hold the flashlight.
Yeah.
Siege, I realized that last week we didn't at all make fun of me for the fact that I emceed another karate tournament. It was that time of year again where we got together at Bellevue College and I did the announcing over the thing, and some guy who's like could easily tear my arms off and kill me with them, he bosses me around as to how I can do my announcing job better and like, the songs I'm playing and stuff. And I'm always like, yes, because you know, you're clearly... Yes. Qualified. And so
you should set it up like a color commentary type situation where you do the play-by-play and then you go, and what do you think, Bill? And Bill's like, I would have just punched the guy through the guy and ripped his arms off, and you're like,
beat him with him. Yeah,
that is your solution to every single one of these fights, Bill, come on, man.
Yeah. Oh, but it would work. That's the thing, because I mean, punch a guy through a guy, I mean, you're gonna win every time.
Don't you feel like that's basically how color commentary works in every sport? Doesn't matter if it's American, European. I'm sure this crosses the threshold of other languages as well. Like when you're watching soccer and the Spanish commentators are going, and the one guy is like yelling about everything that going on, and he goes, and what do you think, Javier? And it's just some like, always the color commentary guy is some old crotchety guy who used to play the game, and they're like, well, back in my day we would have never done that, and we would have just done this, and they're soft now, right? Like that's,
oh, did you watch the Arsenal match this weekend? Like
well, that's what I'm saying. You've got to turn your guy who's telling you what to do, be like, okay, you're on. You're gonna help me commentate this thing.
Yeah, it's always interesting to see like when you get people that are like the MLS has a big problem with getting a good play-by-play person, and then having somebody that like sack tapped people for a living for like the last 20 years that you now expect them to be eloquent and verbose with how they speak about passionately about something, but instead they're like, "God, ball was kicked hard. He didn't dive good."
Like, in my day, no foul. Me would not do that.
Speaking of sack taps, I showed up to the Queens of the Stone Age concert the other day, and who was there? I was in the bathroom. I walked into the bathroom and I heard a voice, and I was like, that's Brad Evans. And I walked up and I was like, hello, Brad Evans. And he was like, whoa. We had like a big weird hug while he was talking to somebody in the bathroom.
While you guys were at the urinal?
I was weird. I was holding dicks. I didn't talk teen. Damn it. Hold on. Double.
You're not an orca.
Turns out you can milk Brad Evans.
when science and soccer converge.
Anyway. Now, I think about stuff like this all the time. There's two different phases of this. There's the AI component of it, but also I'm really curious about how we existed and how we portray cultures before our own. And I'm talking about to this very present day. Like, when you just try to understand what people were like in the 20s, you get this caricature of how Yeah, exactly. You get that type of thing. But then if you, like, look back at the language that was spoken, it is different. It's like, we can still understand it, but they turn a phrase just a little bit different than we do. Even, like, if you try to speak professionally and, like, correctly.
What's like the neutral voice that broadcast? Like, there's a correct term for it, right?
Ohio.
Like, you're non-regional, you know, whatever.
Non-regional dialect.
Ohio. Back in the day, like in the 20s and I don't know, I think of the 40s during the wars, I suppose, is that like
during
they always
the, war.
The wars back in my day, shooting a guy wasn't a red card. The non-regional dialects had such a specific camber and sound to it, where nowadays it seems like it's just the mayor of Spokane, who is like a former news anchor who basically doesn't seem like she's not going to get into politics, but anyway, she just like knows how to speak well, yeah, or knows how to speak with like gravitas so that people listen, you know?
Yeah. And so, yeah, before it'd be like, Jerry, don't let Jerry get a hold of your family, bye, or whatever. It would be like, there would be a...
I'll get the Tommy gun, you hide the moonshine, yeah.
But even then, even when broadcaster talked, they talked like, you know, there's a very specific
Walter
way
Cronkite.
About.
Yeah.
I got in trouble
to the evening news.
I got in trouble in college because we had to like go back and research things from 50 years prior or something like that. And I went back and I was reading, and this review of this movie, there were some swears in the review, and I was like, wait, what? I don't ever think of swearing being a thing from the Greatest Generation or whatever, right? Like, that was like not, it wasn't okay. Specifically in print, it would never happen. And I was like, this is amazing that there was like swearing. And the teacher called my review, my report of this review out as me being naive and focusing on the wrong things of the language there or whatever, that like, of course they swore. And I'm like, well, it's the same thing. Like, this is totally stoner talk. But like, when you go outside at night, it's all the same stuff. It's not any scarier. There's just no photons reflecting off of it that we haven't generated because it's just nighttime. And so it's the same tree, but it looks super spooky in the dark. And kids
get scared of it. Ghosts are there during the daytime, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Raccoons are the trash of the sea or whatever we called it. They're hiding in plain sight all the time. But anyway,
the land dolphins.
Yeah, that's right. Giraffes are called earth dragons. And
we're gonna need a chart.
Yeah, oh yeah. Please, someone get
Brandon. Get the whiteboard.
Mima, get or whatever that lady's name was. Get after it. Brandon's got the whiteboard. Okay, good. Okay, so Siege sent this to me, and I like, this is right up my alley, where there's all this old cuneiform, which is when they had clay, and you take wedges and you make shapes into it, and that was the only system that they had for like long-term ability to like store knowledge.
Writing and things then, like, down.
And so I think a lot about how like those cultures were wiped out. These are like pre-Mesopotamian or like the early Mesopotamian cultures. They got wiped out. The Incans and the Mayans, they're all gone because like the species couldn't, or the cultures couldn't survive, right? And so we end up with these remnants. And so some researchers it took 200 years for them to solve one of these big tablets. They turned to AI and taught it what it was doing. And now they can real-time translate from cuneiform into English. I cannot stop looking at Brandon.
I know, neither
writing in the background. It's like so distracting.
I try to decide if a humpback whale is a swimophant or an elephaqua.
Aquafint?
Yeah, an aquafint, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. A swimophant's good, though.
Yeah, all
right. Okay, so anyway, like, we train this AI so it can read all this old text from a culture that we don't know anymore. And then I thought about how, like, we're devolving into writing in symbols again, like into hieroglyphics.
Yep.
And we're creating the same AI that'll be able to translate that. I think that in 10,000, inevitably we won't survive. Humans will, this version of humans will go. There's going to be something else. Throughout time, it's always happened that the animals get wiped out. And
ooh, do we get like, tails back?
Hopefully, because my balance is terrible.
Oh, same.
But if we, so if we, in the 10,000 years from now, like, what are they going to find that we left behind? Like, what's still going to exist as Siege gets high on Vic's Fable Rub?
What they're going to find is they're going to find a lot of eggplant emojis with splashy insignias right after it.
Absolutely.
At least on my phone.
Can you imagine that? Like, if they found your phone, no context.
Oh,
if they found
no.
your phone in 500 years, even 100 years, and they went through it, think about the nonsense that they would have to figure out.
Well, the problem is that like all of the historical items that are discovered now are like it's like this was the first book owned by a you know Arabian queen or something like that, or this was these were all of the jewelry and recorded instruments from, you know, this Greek philosopher. And the reason that like those things are the things that are recovered is because those people with immense wealth and immense resources were able to keep those in places that could be protected so that the centuries and centuries of time and erosion and things like that could erode everything away around it, but that was protected. The problem now is that even stupid people can protect stuff. So like in the future when the people are using the AI to discover things, like instead of just finding like all of the stuff, recorded material that the geniuses of our time have left, they're going to find a whiteboard with centaur math on it on my on my desk. And they're going to be like, what does it mean? This guy must have been somebody important. The biological, the work this man was doing in biology.
Oh, man. It's just, I just lost what I was thinking. But it was, if you just look at any of our group chats that we have.
If they look at them now, we're all fired.
And if AI, for sure. We'll never work again. If AI decided to go through and recreate like our period in time and they based it off TikTok, like, I mean, who are the super intelligent people there? The people with 500,000 followers? So it's basically a bunch of like e-girls cosplaying and people getting their back cracked and pimples popping and butt plugs. At least that's on my feed.
A different TikTok, I think.
That's my feed. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, that's
I'm on yard work TikTok, and it's you guys, it's super, it makes me sad for my grass.
I'm on plant propagation TikTok for real. I'm like trying to make my pothos into more pothoses or whatever. So Amazon needs our help, guys. Specifically finding aliens. Obviously call Tom DeLong. That's what we need him.
Wait,
on standby for his
the
help,
Amazon or Amazon like, the company?
Amazon.com, the company, the Seattle retailer, the local retailer,
not the forest.
an uncontacted tribe emerges from the Amazon, be like, "You guys, there are aliens.
We need your help."
Tom DeLonge is behind them, dressed like them. Be like, honestly,
like,
you guys,
DC shoes on.
Honestly, you guys, they called me.
They contact us via NerdTalkPlus.com.
For some reason, Dennis Rodman is there too in my imagination. I don't understand why. But anyway,
they were here the whole time.
So they need you to keep an eye on that Ring footage from your Ring doorbell or camera, and whoever can provide the best scientific evidence, in quotes, can win $1 million.
I know what I'm doing this week.
Or for Halloween, dressing up as an alien, and I'll run around in front of your. Like it makes weird noises and is on my Ring camera, but. I got to thinking about this and like reading about it a little bit. And I was like, why do they want this so badly? And then it dawned on me that Amazon owns the Ring cameras.
Yeah.
And so they're like, just try to get people to, because you can only submit Ring footage. You can't use Google or whatever to submit it. So even if you had an alien like humping your centaur out front or whatever,
ding,
you're like,
ding dong,
there it is.
Ding
there
dong
it
ditching
is.
You. Yeah.
You know, with his, ringing the doorbell with his alien wiener or whatever.
I saw like, this on TikTok.
It was on Google Home.
That's the new trend. That's crazy. Aliens are flying to Earth just to do it. It's alien TikToks. More like Siege's TikTok. But
that's right.
Amazon trying to make $1 million. And I thought, is that clever? Is it not okay? Like, Tom DeLonge working at Amazon? Like, I don't know.
I think what they're doing is they're redirecting our cultural use of these devices, right? Because like right now, if you go to any of the like neighborhood, you know, group pages on your Facebooks and your next doors and stuff, it's like, I saw something suspicious out in the street. It might have been an alien. Nope, just a black person. Because like 90%,
Judy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Judy, that was just an African American.
Just a person walking down the street.
Yeah. I'm like, what's suspicious? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like,
all right, Judy.
That is basically like, so maybe Amazon has seen that as the problem that it is and gone, like, okay, stop reporting things that aren't problems and start reporting potential aliens. And then you just know that there's a whole subsection of people who live near the border who are going to take this the wrong way.
I got one.
These are all aliens.
Build the wall.
Space wall.
Space wall.
Using alien bones. Anyway, scientists can... This is for Siege. This whole thing is for Siege.
Ooh.
Scientists can print skin that's more human-like than anything before, says a headline at Gizmodo.com. And not out of, like, the lobby printer in the office. You can't just, like, print sheets of that and use it on their dime or whatever. It would be cool, but bioprinting. So,
does
like,
HP make
printing.
It? Can I get it for my house?
It's short for penis. H-penis makes it, okay? So you
and
can
penis.
Got it.
It's bioprinting, so it's like 3D printing, only using human cells instead of plastic stuff. Now... I'm sure this is great for people with burn wounds or, you know, something that needs to actually be healed. But all I can think of is, can you get it tattooed? Can I have fake skin that you can tattoo? And then secondly, for the gentleman whose parents made a very snippy choice at the hospital, can we now reverse that? And then additionally, once you reattach the calamari...
Can you get it tattooed? Yeah.
Yes. Or could you get it tattooed before reattachment?
That's what I'm saying. Like an orca. You print out the human skin and then you just put that in. It's like your HP printer is like, need to load paper. Well, here you go. I'm going to put my human skin in this printer. And whatever comes out, you just attach that back to your skin.
The old force. Bubble jet. Get yourself a nice tribal.
Yeah.
It's not a tribal armband anymore.
Yeah.
Dude, Bubble Jet is seriously a pretty good name for something. It sounds like a Mega Man character or like his like Bubble Man's car is called the Bubble Jet or whatever. Like
that's the name of the alien in my Ring doorbell.
Bubble Jet.
That's how we got here.
Obviously, this is, as with anything, any sort of scientific breakthrough like this is always positioned as this will be so good for people with disabilities and or, you know, people with injuries that, you know, we can like burns, like you said, when in reality, like they are like, but we know we're going to make the most money from sex.
Yeah. I need a third nipple immediately. And so can we get printing or what?
Yeah.
I want a nipple on each butt cheek. That's what I want.
I need at least four more nipples.
Yeah.
Milk those nipples, make siege cheese. Trademark.
Oh, yeah, you can milk anything with nipples. Oh, yeah, you can milk anything with
nipples. Well, one way. Moving on from the burrito world, Chipotle is introducing robots to make your salads and bowls. And I don't know why just that. Because I guess it probably doesn't have the dexterity in the hands to not tear the tortilla when making a burrito.
As
not
if the actual humans can.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you.
The nice thing about the humans making them, though, is that if you're like, hey, man, how's your day? Lots of times they're like, I'm putting an extra handful of whatever meat protein you wanted in there.
I have to order double tortillas so they don't rip apart my burritos. And then I'll order even double meat and they'll still give me one little half spoonful. And I'm like, I hate all of you here.
Can I tell you guys about a social experiment I did off the books in college?
Oh, yes. No.
The reason is because I studied nothing that would allow me to do a social experiment. And so instead what I did was there was a Panda Express on my campus. And what I would do is me and my friends would walk through and we would order. And it was always like these older ladies that lived and retired in the college town that were working behind scooping the orange chicken. They were slinging the orange chicken. And so you'd walk through and every single time if they were like, how's your day going? You're like, oh, it's good. I'm a growing boy. If you said that word, if you said I'm a growing boy, they would do a heftier scoop of orange chicken in your plate. So I haven't tried this as an adult man, but I would.
I'm definitely doing this
to the like the 17 year old that's like scooping the orange chicken for me. I'm a growing boy.
Oh, I can't wait.
Brandon, you said that with that mustache. Security's coming, bro. Say that to the 17-year-old Asian girl that's working there.
She's like, oh, my
that's,
God.
That's working at, let's see, it's called Orca of the Land Orca Express.
Land Orca Express.
I like Orca Express. That's good. I just like that as a name.
That makes me think of like a fantastical land where you can send messages to people on the other side of the ocean, but you attach it to an orca like you would a carrier pigeon. It's the Orca Express.
It's like Pony Express.
Yeah.
But all the way back under the ocean.
I'm looking at, we kind of got through this real fast today, and so I'm trying to find what else happened.
AI story that you were talking about printing skin made me think about that wormhole of AI and 3D printing that I was watching on 60 Minutes the other night.
Oh, yeah. Old. You were like, hey, you should watch TV. And I was like, I don't know how to do that anymore. There's this like beautiful thing about knowing people on the East Coast. It's that like you see something cool and you're like, something cool is going to happen to you in 3 hours, Greg. And I'm like, yes, I can consume that. That'll be great. Thank you, Eastern Time Zone.
Yes. And then I was watching this guy, and this guy was 3D printing houses with concrete, and it turned into he was going to space to do it with moon rocks and the moon sand. But instead,
when you say do it,
like, yeah, have sex, have sex rock? With moon
God,
sand.
I
yeah.
can't see that.
Lucky guy. But anyway, he's going to be the guy who 3D prints the housing and the structures on the moon for when we take off and launch to Mars.
And it's a good thing that we solved the housing crisis on Earth.
Exactly. Exactly.
That we have the resources to be able to do this on the moon.
How many times was the word regolith used in the show? Because that's like a good word.
It was pretty often in there. I started drifting once they got past the, well, we need to sell all these multi-million-dollar houses so we can provide houses for the homeless, and started reading down the AI wormhole there that of the 3D printing, and ended up in a place that reminded me of what you were talking about earlier with the printing of the skin cells, that a dude in Northwestern, that like a lab assistant at University of Northwestern, actually created the first robot using only living bio cells. And I was just like, wait a second. And I started trying to think, how do we get this 3D printer to start printing bio cells, bio cell robots? And I went to a terrible place.
You can't trust us, because we would just like, we would definitely figure out how to make them all look like wieners, like little legs and Tyrannosaurus arms and stuff. Like,
of course, I definitely went to like a dinosaur sex robot.
Yeah, I mean, that's how I want to be taken out.
That's really all I want in life.
Do you guys see this this headline that Guillermo del Toro confirmed that he was going to make a movie for Star Wars, and that it got scrapped after they came up with the whole concept, they built all the worlds, they were pretty far along in the process.
I heard you talking about that.
Yeah, so they came up with this film, and I was like, that'd be awesome. I can't remember what else he's directed, but I'm always like, oh, yeah, that was pretty good. Because I don't watch movies for the most part or whatever. But you hear his name associated with Star Wars, I'm like, yeah. And then they revealed that the movie was The Rise and Fall of Jabba the Hutt.
Yeah.
And I was like, Brandon looks intrigued, but I'm like,
I just.
They're not exactly an agile species. It's not going to be like an action film.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be like film noir about about a slug man with his, and he's got Tyrannosaurus arms, right?
Yeah, and you know how many nipples that thing has?
they basically tried to make that movie and went, you know what, we can't do that. Let's just throw the guy who played, Boba Fett in there instead. right? Like, that is essentially a crime lord on that planet. Let's throw him in there because we can't do a slug movie. There's a reason. Yeah. Have you guys ever seen the movie, what was it called? Ants? Or
A Bug's Life.
Those came around the same time. You got like that phenomenon of like these movies coming out that are so conceptually similar but different because one's DreamWorks and one's Pixar and they're trying to compete with each other. But there's a reason that in neither of those movies, there's not like a slug contingent that is going around being the problem.
In one of them, there's a caterpillar guy that's like one of the guys, right?
Yeah,
like
his name's Hans. Yeah, it's in The Bug's Life. His name's Hans. He's
like,
German.
You know, like conceptually speaking, you're like, no, he's like 19 years old. He's got 41 arms. It's you know, it's a whole thing.
Listen, he turns into a butterfly, but he gets
these
tiny little...
I'm a Bug's Life guy.
You know, Siege, when you said nipples on Jabba the Hutt, I was, of course, thinking about how we could milk them and make cheese out of it. And then I was like, it's Siege's Hut of Siege Hut cheese.
Siege Hut cheese. Oh my god, I'm for it. I think of
Siege's
Spaceballs.
Cheese Hut.
Spaceballs. Now serving we'll Hut go cheese. Pizza the Hut.
This is coming around because
all the worlds
Hut.
Collide. Multiverse.
Siege Hut's Cheese Hut. Pizza the Hut.
Siege's
by the seashore.
Cheese Hut serves.
Beaches.
Hut cheese.
Cheese
pizza
nut.
The Hut cheese.
<It's> This is unlistenable.
Serves nut cheese.
Okay.
Nerd talk, talking about nerd talk, yeah!
Well, thanks for joining us for an extra short episode of Nerd Talk Plus. I'm out of time. We're just going to end on nut cheese.
Got canceled.
Like, okay, nut butter's fine, but nut cheese, we draw the line.
I put my into a can of peanut butter one time.
What one other time. Dairy items can be replaced with nut nog?
Yogurt. There's the fruit at the bottom.
I don't know if I'm embarrassed for all of us or proud or what.
Sour nut?
I hope Mima is still with us here. Tuesdays
dead?
At 10 a.m. Join your favorite Skin Squatch and Florida Man and
Cream
whatever
Nut.
That I am. Yeah. What?
Cream Nut? I'm just thinking of all the dairy things. When
how do you do half and half? Ooh, nutsicle sounds good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
God damn it.
Peanut butter popsicle? Has that
lactose
done that?
Free chocolate nutsicle?
Oh. NerdTalkPlus.com to get in touch with us and complain. Or,
leave a review with the your favorite nut-based dairy product.
5 stars only, please. Okay, bye.